Okay, so you know how we all just kind of skim those gym membership waivers? Like you see that wall of text and you just think, yeah, whatever, and sign on the dotted line.
Oh, yeah, totally. I mean, who really reads all that stuff, right?
Exactly. But today we're going to dive into why maybe we should pay a little more attention to those waivers, specifically a case called Leon V. Family Fitness.
Yeah, this case is like a classic example of when those waivers actually hold up and when they don't. It's a really important one for understanding liability issues in contracts, especially for like gyms and
So
stuff.
for everyone listening who's maybe not super familiar with this case, can you give us like a quick rundown of what happened?
Sure. So we've got Carlos Leon, right? He's a member at Family Fitness, working out, doing his thing. And one day he's in the sauna relaxing, and boom, the bench collapses underneath him.
Ouch, that's gotta hurt.
Yeah, he ends up with an injury. So he sues the gym for negligence, basically saying they didn't maintain the sauna properly.
Okay, makes sense. So I'm guessing Family Fitness is like, hold on a sec, you signed a waiver?
Exactly. They pull out that membership agreement, point to the waiver, and say they're not liable for his injuries.
What did the court say?
Well, the trial court actually sided with the gym. They granted summary judgment in favor of Family Fitness.
So that means the trial court thought the waiver was totally valid.
Yeah, basically, they said there was no real dispute about the facts, and the waiver protected the gym from being sued.
But I'm guessing this isn't the end of the story.
Nope, this is where it gets interesting. The Court of Appeal actually reversed that summary judgment.
Whoa, so they said the waiver wasn't valid after all.
Exactly. And the reasons why are super important for understanding how these waivers work in California. It basically boils down to the waiver not meeting the legal requirements to actually protect the gym from negligence claims.
Okay, so let's break that down. What were those legal requirements that this waiver didn't meet?
So the Court of Appeal really focused on three main things. First, the waiver had to be clear and conspicuous. Like, it couldn't be buried in the fine print. It had to be obvious and noticeable.
Okay, that makes sense. You can't just like sneak a waiver into a giant document and expect it to be enforceable.
Right. And second, the language of the waiver had to be super clear about what it was actually waiving, specifically negligence. They can't just use general terms about risks, they have to be explicit.
So it's not enough to say like, hey, exercising can be dangerous. It has to actually say you're waiving your right to sue, even if the gym messes up.
Exactly. And the third thing the court looked at was whether the scope of the waiver was reasonable. Like, was it actually connected to the activities the person was doing at the gym?
Okay, I think I'm starting to get it. But can we go back to that first requirement for a sec, the whole conspicuous thing? What exactly was wrong with how the waiver was presented in this case?
Well, imagine you get this like huge membership agreement, right? Tons of text, tiny font.
Yeah, those things are always intimidating.
Right. And somewhere in there, buried in all that legal jargon, is this little paragraph about the waiver. And get this, it was in like 8-point font.
Seriously, 8-point font. That's like practically unreadable.
I know, right? No headings, no bolding, nothing to make it stand out. The court was basically like, come on, this is ridiculous. You can't just hide a waiver like that and expect people to see it.
So it was like hidden in plain sight.
Exactly. And that lack of conspicuousness made it even harder to understand what the waiver was actually saying. Which brings us to the second problem, the language itself.
Okay, so even if someone had like a magnifying glass and managed to find that tiny waiver, what was wrong with the words they used?
Well, it didn't actually say that Carlos Leon was releasing Family Fitness from their own negligence. It used these vague terms about accepting the risks of exercise.
So, like, it was more like, hey, working out can be tough, not we might mess up and you can't sue us.
Exactly. And there's lots of case law that says a waiver has to explicitly state it covers negligence. Like it has to say that even if the gym is careless, you can't hold them liable.
Gotcha. So this waiver just wasn't specific enough.
Right. It didn't make it crystal clear that Leon was giving up his right to sue if the gym was at fault.
That makes sense. Okay, so we've covered conspicuousness in the specific language. Now, what about that third requirement, the connection between the waiver and the actual activity?
Right. So remember, Leon got hurt because the sauna bench collapsed. And the court was like, hold on a second. A sauna bench collapsing isn't really an inherent risk of using a gym.
Okay, so it's not like pulling a muscle or tripping over a weight.
Exactly. It's more about the gym's responsibility to make sure their equipment is safe. Like, that's a basic duty they have.
So the court was saying this waiver about the general risks of exercise didn't really apply to a situation where the gym's equipment was faulty.
Exactly. They said the risk you're waiving has to be reasonably related to what you're actually doing at the gym.
So, like, if you sign a waiver to use the treadmill, that doesn't mean you're also waiving your right to sue if the ceiling caves in on you in the locker room.
Yeah, that's a good example. The risks have to be connected.
That makes a lot of sense. Now, I know there were also some concurring opinions in this case, right? Like other justices agreed with the outcome, but maybe for slightly different reasons.
Yeah, definitely. There were two concurring opinions that added some interesting nuances to this whole discussion.
Okay, I'm curious, what did those concurring opinions say?
So Justice McDonald, in his concurrence, really focused on how the waiver was presented. He said it didn't give Leon enough notice about what he was actually giving up.
Like even beyond the tiny font issue.
Right. He said there should have been clear headings or something to highlight the importance of that clause. Like California law really emphasizes protecting consumers from unknowingly waiving their rights.
So it's not just about hiding stuff. It's about making sure people actually understand what they're signing.
Exactly. And then Justice Holler, in her concurrence, kind of took it a step further. She was concerned about whether a normal person without legal training would actually understand they were giving up their right to sue for negligence based on the wording.
So she was saying it has to be clear to everyone, not just lawyers.
Right. She basically argued that if the waiver isn't super clear and straightforward to the average person, then it shouldn't be enforced.
Wow, that's really interesting. So it sounds like the Leon case really highlights the importance of clarity and transparency in these kinds of waivers.
Absolutely. And it gives us some really important takeaways for how to draft contracts and waivers effectively, especially if you want to make sure they'll actually hold up in court.
Okay, so for all the future lawyers out there listening, what are the key lessons they should take away from this case?
Well, first of all, make that waiver stand out. Use big fonts, bolding headings, whatever you need to do to make it impossible to miss.
Make it scream, hey, I'm important, read me.
Exactly. And second, be super specific about what's being waived. Don't just use general language about risks, explicitly mention negligence.
It's something like, you can't sue us even if we're at fault.
Right, spell it out. And finally, make sure the scope of the waiver is reasonable and connected to the actual activities involved.
So no sneaking in extra stuff that's not relevant?
Exactly. Keep it focused and clear.
This has been really eye-opening. I think a lot of us just take these waivers for granted without really understanding the nuances.
Yeah, it's easy to just gloss over them, but the Leon case shows us that the details really matter.
So the next time you're at the gym or anywhere else and you're asked to sign a waiver, what should people do?
Take a minute, actually read it. Look for those key elements we talked about. Is it easy to see and understand? Does it clearly mention negligence? Does the scope make sense? If not, maybe ask some questions before you sign.
That's great advice. So basically, don't be afraid to be that person who actually reads the fine print. It can save you a lot of trouble down the line.
Absolutely. And for anyone drafting these agreements, remember, clarity and transparency are key. You want to make sure everyone understands what they're agreeing to. It's about protecting both the business and the consumer.
Well said. This has been a fascinating deep dive into Leon v. Family Fitness. It's amazing how much we can learn from just one case.
Yeah, and it really makes you think about all those contracts we encounter every day. From renting a car to signing up for a website, there are probably waivers hidden in there too.
So the takeaway is always read carefully and understand what you're agreeing to before you sign on the dotted line.
Exactly. It's about being informed and protecting your rights.
That's our deep dive for today. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next time.